Good morning, friends. My name is Chidima Ozor, also known as the Type A Hippie, and this is the Type A Hippie podcast, or the ChiCast, episode 5. So, I've taken a few days. I kind of ramped up and got a lot of episodes out so that you all had something to listen to. And since then, it's so likely we'll be doing once a week an episode. I might get excited from time to time and bust out a couple more. But going forward, likely just once a week, and then definitely when things start to really ramp up, it'll be once a week. So I'm really excited. I have my vision board of interviews in my mind, and I'm going to start reaching out to people. So just know that I'm manifesting some really amazing content for you all very, very soon. I have a couple of interviews lined up next week, and I know that I'll have more in the future. And so I'm really, really grateful to Divine, because I know that my path will cross other pretty amazing, fantastic people that you might already be listening to in the podcast world or reading their books. And so I'm just really, really excited. All right. So where do we go? So we were talking the last couple episodes about safe spaces, and I will be bringing on two of my closest friends to kind of talk about what we've created amongst the three of us in terms of a safe space for learning, growing, thriving, failing, even making amends and moving forward into hope and love. So I have been reading some books, and I don't know if you're like me, you are probably reading 15 books all at once. And so one of the books that I'm reading that I'll probably talk about at a later time is Return to Love by, who is it? Marianne Williamson. The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma by Basil van der Kolk. He's an MD. Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life, and doing the workbook as well. And then Teach Only Love, The 12 Principles of Attitudinal Healing by Gerald G. Jampolsky, and he's also an MD. And so all of this is related, right? At the beginning of this year, I got certified to teach trauma-sensitive yoga. And one of the reasons that I did that is because I've experienced trauma. And I think if you're breathing, you've experienced trauma. And I knew that it would go hand in hand. So I think it was actually the beginning of 2015, but it would go hand in hand with my nonprofit ACT, Aroma Compassion Therapy. That's all about providing trauma-sensitive yoga and aromatherapy with essential oils to various community groups, if you will. So first responders, firefighters, police officers, paramedics, EMTs, ER docs, physicians, nurses, and social workers, and finally veterans, active military, and retired military personnel, because many of those groups experience trauma in ways that many of us could never understand. And I don't think that God intended for us to see what we see, and these particular groups to see what they see. And so as a result, unless there's self-care happening and healing happening, the trauma stays within the body. And I'm hopeful that when someone is placed in a position where they have to make a snap decision, whether they have a loaded gun directed towards a suspect, or they have to make a decision of life and death for a person that's come into the emergency department, or they're in active military, or excuse me, active war, or even not, that they have the wherewithal, clarity of mind to make a solid decision. And I'm aware that this will take time, and that most of these groups suffer in silence from post-traumatic stress disorder, amongst other things. PTSD is not the only thing. So that is my hope rising and my addition to being a part of the solution rather than continuing to be a part of the problem. And so with that, with the trauma-sensitive yoga, it's allowing people to be safe, feel safe in the body again. So it addresses people that have been the survivors of sexual assault, sexual abuse, physical abuse, domestic violence, eating disorders, any sort of recovery from substance use disorder, alcoholism, addiction. So many things. There's so many traumas that many of us have experienced or are currently experiencing. And so yoga in particular, emotional healing with essential oils, can be very, very helpful along with other things like therapy, treatment, etc. So when I was a clinical health coach, we had book club. And so one of the books that my manager at the time suggested we read was Teach Only Love. And I'm going to read a couple lines that were very impactful for me and kind of talk about how it resonates and how it can be helpful to us as we think about these difficult conversations and having conversations. I got roped into some Facebook passion, I'll put it that way, yesterday. And the old me would say something like, don't participate, don't even engage, just back away slowly, right? And the new me has become emboldened in my own right. I've found more of my own voice that's authentic with a backdrop of love. And so I can't do that anymore. That would be inauthentic and dishonest. To save face or to save, you know, relationship or to gloss over something, I just can't afford to do that anymore. And so as a result, I pray before I type. I pause and I exercise some measure of restraint of pen and tongue. And, you know, I didn't agree with the post or the video attached. And so I said something, and it was actually a healthy discussion. And I actually gained a friend out of it and was able to text offline with the friend who made the post. And one thing that she said to me was very uplifting for me. Was she said, I can tell that you really care, because most people who disagree with me just call me stupid, an idiot, or not a part of reality. And it brings tears to my eyes right now thinking about that, because words matter, and that's just not kind. It really isn't. Even if someone's feeling that way, it's just to express it. It hurts my heart to think that we speak so unkindly to one another. And I've done it. I am no saint. Let me tell you, I have done it. And yet I want and desire a different way. Because I can communicate that I don't agree with you in a kind and cordial, peaceful way. I can be passionate about it. And so I say to people, do not mistake my passion and purpose for anger, beyond righteous anger. I'm not angry with you. And at the same time, I need to say something because I can't not anymore. So in Teach Only Love, it talks about letting go of fear, negative, hurtful thoughts from the past. Attitudinal healing. So what is it? It's based on the belief that it is not people or external situations that cause us to be upset. Rather, what causes us conflict and distress are our thoughts, feelings, and attitudes about people and events. Attitudinal healing allows us to correct our misrepresentations and to remove the inner obstacles to peace. This begins with a willingness to find another way of looking at the world, at life, and at death, to have peace of mind as our only goal, and to make forgiveness our primary function. So it defines health as inner peace, healing as letting go of fear, regards our primary identity as spiritual, and affirms that each individual possesses a quality of being or an inner nature that is essentially loving, and that this loving nature is shared by all human beings. It states that love is the most important healing force in the world. It does not tell other people what to do, but offers them choices. It emphasizes equality in every aspect of our lives and affirms that we are all student and teacher to each other, recognizes that peace is our only goal, emphasizes listening with empathy and without judgment or advice, and sets the goal of living a life focused on unconditional love. So love is greater than fear. And what I love is that it emphasizes equality, which is something that we are struggling as a nation and as a world to find equality amongst all people, friends, every single one. If you're breathing, then you are equal, and we need to work to strive to get there. Wow. So on page 25 in this book, a completely new life began to open up for me as I recognized that my purpose here on earth was only to experience God and to extend peace. In other words, to teach only love. And I love that statement because I started maybe a couple years ago saying, I wasn't necessarily living this way, but I was saying that I was created to love God and love people. And I would say it because it sounded good, and I would say it because that was really my heart's desire, and I would just say it because I thought that this was what I was supposed to do, and I really believed in my heart of heart that I was created to love God and love people. And so, as I said it more and more, it was one of those things of, move the feet and the body follows, or it was the long road between my head and my heart. And I started to live in a way that was more consistent with that. Not every day, not every minute of the day. But I was moving in the right direction, and I'm still far from that. Loving God and loving people only. I'm still very far from that. And yet, more people are saying, not every single person, but more people are saying things like, I can tell you're really compassionate. You're really kind. I'm actually really open to having a discussion with you or a conversation with you, which is the goal, you know? If I remember that my purpose is to teach only love and to maintain a certain lifestyle, and I don't mean a lifestyle like a financial lifestyle, I mean a spiritual lifestyle, and maintain it, and not to boast or talk about it, but to just be it, to be in this place and attract others to this place just as they are attracting me to their place, which is similar. Because there are other people too that maintain that they were created to love spirit and love others, or to love the divine and love others. It's a simple but not easy concept to adapt. So I've started to read more like philosophical thought, and I'm learning more, I'm meditating more, which is a good thing, and it's really helping me to be calm with some health stuff. So I was diagnosed with lupus 6.5 years ago. And I don't really talk about it much. I talk about it when I talk about essential oils, and I talk about how that's helped support my health in many arenas, including physical, emotional, financial. And I talk about it, yeah, really, that's the only scope. And so one thing I have to be mindful of, well, a lot of things. Stress is one. Moving my body is another thing. What I put in my mouth in terms of eating and beverages is important, how much rest I'm getting, and my heart rate. And so I've had experiences, mostly a couple years ago, where my resting heart rate was in the 130s, which is really high considering my resting heart rate is generally in the 60s. And it's something that my friends who are physicians have said, just be mindful of it because it could be indicative of some lupus inflammatory activity internally. And so I keep a tab of my resting heart rate. I keep a tab of my heart rate when I'm moving, whether it's yoga or running or F45. I'm really aware. And I did a really brief meditation this morning and my heart rate was in the 50s, like low 50s, and then kicked up to the 60s, which is my norm. And I was like, this really works, like meditation, mindfulness. And I know this because I talk to clients about this and I talk to friends about this and I talk to family about this. And, you know, I teach it when I teach yoga. And I lead a guided meditation every week that is in and available to all. So, yeah, I know this in my head, and sometimes applying it to my life, just like I know what my purpose is in my head. To love guiding power and to love people. And yet it's sometimes hard to express that or to live that, really. So I am incredibly grateful for some of this literature that's already out, free for the taking. And by free, like go to your local library, support the local libraries, or, you know, support small bookstores and or other retailers, like online retailers. So books are available. There's also Kindle, you know. So I started to do some work this summer in August when I was in Vegas for a month, releasing my things to new owners and tying up loose ends, saying my see you laters. And so I stumbled on Lewis Hayes' best-selling book, You Can Heal Your Life. And there is a part here, it talks about many ways to change, the exercise willing to change, what do we do now? So this is an exercise that you can do, called willing to change. So we have decided we are willing to change and we will use any and all methods that work for us. Let me describe one of the methods I use with myself and with others. First, go look in a mirror and say to yourself, I am willing to change. Notice how you feel. If you are hesitant or resistant or just don't want to change, ask yourself why. What old belief are you holding on to? Please don't scold yourself. Just notice what it is. I'll bet that belief has been causing you a lot of trouble. I wonder where it came from. Do you know? Whether we know where it came from or not, let's do something to dissolve it now. Again, go to the mirror and look deep into your own eyes, touching your throat, and say out loud 10 times, I am willing to release all resistance. So mirror work is very powerful. As children, we receive most of our negative messages from others looking us straight in the eye and perhaps shaking a finger at us. Whenever we look into the mirror today, most of us will say something negative to ourselves. We either criticize our looks or berate ourselves for something. To look yourself in the eye and make a positive declaration about yourself is, in my opinion, the quickest way to get results with affirmations. So in the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. I now choose calmly and objectively to see my old patterns, and I'm willing to make changes. I am teachable. I can learn. I'm willing to change. I choose to have fun doing this. I choose to react as though I have found a treasure when I discover something else to release. I see and feel myself changing moment by moment. Thoughts no longer have any power over me. I am the power in the world. I choose to be free. All is well in my world. And I remember the first time I did that exercise, I wept. And what I discovered, friends, or one of the things I discovered during the summer, was that I have not felt worthy of a few things. I have not felt worthy of true love in a romantic sense. I have not felt worthy of financial freedom. I have not felt worthy of passion and purpose. I've held myself back. Yes, I have in my past shrunk to allow others to feel comfortable around me. And at the same time, I have stifled my own growth in many arenas. And so it was powerful to come to that realization, as I'm sure it's been powerful for you to come to some realizations yourself about things that are standing in your way. So how do we really teach only love? How do we separate ourselves from the things that stand in our way? All of this is practice. There is no way to do it all without practice, without falling a few times. And yet, when I have compassion for someone else and how they feel about being berated about their opinions, about being called stupid, idiot, uneducated, delusional, I realize again and again that I am you and you are me. There are no others. There's no us versus them. We're just here. I think one of my favorite Instagram accounts is Humans of New York. And it's just Humans of NY. And they have a Facebook page as well. And I love it because they humanize people. They humanize people with mental illness. They humanize people that have been survivors of domestic violence. They humanize people that have had and may even continue to struggle with substance use disorder. That's alcoholism and addiction. They humanize people that live in the middle of the country. They humanize people that live on the other side of the globe. They put a face and a story to people in a way that few have been able to do. So it makes you think about things like, there are no others. There's no us versus them. It's just we. And so I bought the book last Christmas, a copy for my family. It's a table book, and a copy for myself. And I just opened one page. And so they do this thing with little people, children. And sometimes they say in micro fashion, on the streets of New York or wherever they are. Right now they're in Macomb, Michigan, which is interesting because they're about an hour away, you know, sharing stories. And so there are two girls. They look to be sisters dressed up. Do you know what you want to be when you grow up? A dolphin saver. Another girl in a subway. I want to be a princess hairdresser. What's the hardest part about being a princess hairdresser? Cutting Rapunzel's hair. Then a little boy who's wearing his school uniform and a little tie. So cute. What do you want to be when you grow up? A fireman. Why do you want to be a fireman? He said, I said Iron Man. And, you know, it's just humanity. My heart swells when I think about how I'm just one person with a voice. And imagine all of us if we collectively could advocate for one another. That brings tears to my eyes too. So I am all about humanity and loving people, even the ones that are my human sandpaper that I just want to shake so that they get what I'm saying or so that they see the world the way I see it. But what if they wanted to shake me? And they probably do, so that I can see the world the way they see it. It's not very respectful. No one really wants to be shaken into submission. So, something for me to think about, you know? Am I listening more than I'm talking? Am I really present to hear what you're saying, or am I formulating a rebuttal or a response? So, there's a gal I just flipped, and it says, I'm trying not to hate my body. I love my hair and my hands, but everything else I wouldn't mind switching out. There's another guy who says, yesterday at lunch, I noticed something inside the hat of a policeman sitting next to me. So I asked if I could photograph it. And so inside his hat are a picture of two little boys. Then there's a gal on a motorcycle. She says, I'm a science writer. I like anything complicated. Then this is a longer one, and this will be the last one I read. So a guy wearing a Columbia University t-shirt, he says, I was born in Egypt. I worked on a farm until third grade with no education. I came to the U.S. for 1 year, started fourth grade, but was pulled out because my father couldn't find work and returned to Egypt for a year. The first time I went to an actual school was middle school, but the whole school was in one classroom and I was working as a delivery boy to help the family. It was illegal for me to be working that young, but I did. When I finally got into high school, my house burned down. We moved into a Red Cross shelter, and the only way we could live there is if we all worked as volunteers. I got through high school by watching every single video. On Khan Academy. And teaching myself everything that I had missed during the last 9 years. Eventually I got into Queens College. I went there for 2 years and I just now transferred to Columbia. On a scholarship provided by the New York Housing Association for people who live in the projects. It's intimidating because everyone else who goes to Columbia went to the best schools and have had the best education their entire lives. So friends, I implore you to reach out to someone who is different than you, who does not believe the same things that you do, who maybe voted for someone different than you, and have an actual real conversation, because we are all people. And I'm not even suggesting you go extreme here. I'm really not. I don't think that I'm going to be reaching out to anyone from the all wrong movement, white supremacy movement, anytime soon. I really don't. I don't have it in me right now. And I don't know that that would be productive or safe for me. So use wisdom and discernment and good judgment and reach your hand out. You will be surprised at the person whose hand is on the other end, who's reaching their hand out to you. But I beg of you, the same friend that honored the kindness of my heart said that she doesn't believe that conversations are going to help us. And I disagree wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. I do. What other choice do we have? We get to teach only love and serve love. Two of my favorite people, like I said, are going to be on this on a future episode. We'll be talking about safe spaces again. And she does a podcast, and she's talking about the table. And we used to, like I said, I met them in a ministry we were all part of for many years. And we used to say, pull up a chair, there's room at the table. And that only works if love's served at that table. If love's not served at the table, we burn the table, we move on. We create another table, or we just stand and hold hands or whatever. But there is room for love to multiply one conversation at a time. I have to believe that. If I don't, I fall into fear. One of the things my loving life coach talks about is that she chooses to think of the things that bring her comfort. And I love that. I still think about things that maybe don't bring me comfort and that are uncomfortable in certain instances, right? Like, what do I need to change about myself so that I can be more loving, more kind, more provide more honor to people, be more safe? So that doesn't always bring me the most comfort, but in general, living on the more day-to-day when I'm not doing that deep soul work, I do think of things that bring me comfort. And what brings me comfort is to know that I may not agree with you 100%, yet we can still be safe spaces for one another to grow, to expand, to live, to fail, to fall, to survive, and to thrive. I'm convinced of it. I know that it's possible. I know that it is. So, with my tear-stained face, you have an assignment for me. Go out and love. Have a difficult conversation. Would love to hear out how it goes. Until next time, friends, I honor the place within you where the entire universe resides. I honor the place within you of love, of light, of truth, of peace. I honor the place within you where when you are in that place in you and I am in that place in me, there is only one of us. May you have a blessed rest of your day. My name is Chidima, the Type A Hippie. Namaste.